Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this Aspire podcast is being aired for August 21st, 2022. We're going to get into emotions. And this is going to be a slippery slope for a lot of you because we in this country regard our emotions as essential and extremely important. But in the realm of deep spirituality, where one is seeking to awaken beyond the body and its premises, its presence even in our influencing of our thoughts and our beliefs, this subject of emotional intelligence comes to bear. Now, if you look up the word emotional intelligence, it is defined by the capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions and to handle interpersonal relationships judiciously and empathetically. Well, that all sounds pretty high for most people. I don't think that most human beings that I know of, that I've worked with over the years, 50 years, have the capacity to be aware of, control, and express their emotions and to handle them in an impersonal way, judiciously and empathetically. And this is called emotional intelligence. Well, this is all rhetoric and has nothing to do with the true meaning of what we're up against when we're dealing with our emotions. Our emotions are primitive, to say the least. They were built into us for the sake of our own survival. So when a person feels deeply threatened by, let's say, someone, or even something that looks to be taking away their control over their lives, or looks to be posing a threat to their survival, people go into what I call this fog in the brain, where they just can't deal with what is happening in what they would call a rational way. Now, let me just get to the bottom line here real quick, and maybe this will help. I hope so. What we're basically trying to do with our life is survive as long as we can, even though our living does not present itself as being, shall we say, noble, virtuous, kind, or even compassionate. It is none of those things. It's ruthless. It's self-oriented, and it demonstrates my lack of control over my emotions. To me, there is no such thing as emotional intelligence. This is just an oxymoron. I can't fathom it with most people. You have to understand what the emotions are about. They're about survival. They're about realizing danger in the world, danger around us, primitive danger. So we don't have as much of that primitive danger, although we do have shooters and we do have car accidents, things like that, that do threaten our lives. So there is a certain element of emotionality that is needed to survive, shall we say. But the capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions, to handle interpersonal relationships judiciously and empathetically, as the definition goes, is just not in the cards. It doesn't even exist. And that has nothing to do with intelligence. Intelligence is the ability to ascertain a situation for what it is and what the components are, and how we could, so to speak, predict maybe the way an argument would go or a situation would go, or just be able to see things for the way they are without clogging it up with beliefs and theories and ideals and all sorts of constructs in our mind, narratives. So that's what we're dealing with emotional stuff. There It is the number one, shall we say, problem in human beings. That's the way I look at it. So our first question, this comes from Amy, and she lives in Northern California, she says. How do I deal with my strong impulse to do what I like when I know what I like isn't always the best for me? Amy. You need to read Sapolsky. You do. Behave. You need to read Sapolsky. It is something in our brain, a chemical in our brain, the cortex, frontal cortex of our brain, that knows better but chooses the worst. And it's impulsive, and it has to do with the body being frightened absolutely to the core of its own survival, thinking that if it doesn't get whatever it is that it wants or thinks it needs, then all of a sudden we're going to die or something terrible is going to happen. And so we operate out of a 911 call inside of ourselves, getting terribly emotional. Now, if I were to go with this emotional intelligence, I could say this. I'm aware of a danger and a threat to my ego, my emperor of all malice, my human heart. And I want to control my emotions, not for the sake of understanding or awareness, but I want to control my emotions so I can guard against this threat to my ego. And to handle my interpersonal relationships, not judiciously. Who's to say what is judicious? That's a prejudice on my part. And empathetically, no. There can be no empathy that could really help me control my emotions when they feel threatened about anyone, anything. So what has to reign supreme? And here, Amy, is the problem. We have to have a sense of the bigger picture of our life. Everybody has one very important decision to make in their life. Am I going to live through and via my body and all of its experiences, its hormones, its chemicals, its craziness? Am I going to live according to that? Always looking for an enemy, always looking for danger, always trying to overcome my enemy and my danger or my sense of danger, which is what emotions are all about, for the sake of my own survival? Or can I look at it from another point of view? There is nothing wrong with having emotions. What is wrong is misinterpreting them or allowing them to misinterpret everything that is happening in my life. Let me give you an example. Something happens that you had your heart set on, your human heart, and your human heart is disappointed because that person or that thing didn't come through the way you thought morally or even psychologically would be fair or right. You are betrayed by someone in your mind, and your emotions get hurt. And the first thing they do is they want to lash out through vengeance and sustain an inordinate pride in order to defend the egotistical attitude of my psyche, my human mind, my human body. I want to show them that no one hurts me like that, that kind of thing. Is that emotional intelligence? Well, it's the capacity to be aware of and control and express my emotions that are telling me you betrayed me or you did something that went against my survival, my psychological, egotistical survival. And to handle this interpersonal relationship judiciously means that I reject you or I try to avenge myself And as far as empathy is concerned, that is thrown out the window because you don't deserve it for the sake of what you did. Now, you can rationalize your evil any way you want to do it, Amy. All of us can, and most of us do. So when you start thinking about emotional intelligence, when you start thinking about emotions themselves and being aware of them and our interpersonal relationships, you've got to understand it's a futile cause altogether. People are going to disappoint us. People are going to do things that they didn't know they were doing. Much, I believe, of our mischief in this world is caused because we didn't know what we were doing. We know not what we do. I did a whole TV series on that. Amy, if you go to the website at aspire.org, take a look. We know not what we do. It's all about your question. And I filmed it many years ago, and people looked at it. Some really got something out of it, recognized what I was doing. But the majority of the American public is so emotional. They have higher expectations than their ability to perform on those expectations. They just can't do it because they're emotionally handicapped. It is our emotions that limit us. They are the engine of our living, our energetics, as we think about it in the physical. To transcend all of this spiritually is what living is all about. For me to replace my empathy with compassion, with forgiveness, with mercy. Now, you're not going to do that, Amy. You know it, and I know it, and most people know it. Vengeance is sweet. It's what most people live for, live by, live to enact. And then it builds our pride, our vanity, our ego. And then the next thing we know, we are just egocentric. We feel good, though. And it makes us feel like we're on top of the world. And that's the problem, because emotions make me feel like I've done the right thing. I'm high on the whole experience. And now I have a better self-image, or I have my self-esteem has been lifted, and all this other kind of garbage that we like to listen to and believe is the nature of our life. But none of that is true. Not one single moment of any of that is true. When you really look at emotional fulfillment, it does nothing but take me further and further and further away from the presence of love that lives within me. Love is not an emotion. Hate is. True love, authentic love, is a state of being that indwells all of us at all times. Now, what we do with this state of love, what we do with this presence of love, now that is intelligence. And most people just don't have it, because love is realized and found through silence. The old saying, silence is golden, is not just a saying. It is a truth, a deep and profound truth. And I find that most people just can't deal with it. They don't want to be silent. They want to be arrogant. And in that arrogance, they lose their sense of presence with love. It's all in the crazy mishigosh of the mind. And we just go along with it without ever thinking about the ramifications of it, the consequences of our emotions upon the livingness of our life. We just don't go there. We think, well, I'm on the right side and da-da-da-da-da. So there you are. What to do with your emotions? You're going to have to learn to transcend them. And I have put enough here on the Aspire website to teach you how to do that, but most people ignore it because it's far more fun to live in the gratification of, you know, a personal violence that actually sustains the ego. And isn't that what it's all about? Sustaining our egos. Enough of me for today. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'll be back on the air next week. Thank you for listening. I hope this helped. And always remember, forgive me. Namaste.